Being a radio guy, this just totally, well, it made me a little angry, but it also kind of cracked me up. These three kids, I say kids, they're probably in their early 20s. They're at the University of Minnesota on a radio channel. They're doing, you know, student radio, the college radio channel. And they're having a discussion. Three of these young men are having a discussion about the transgendered students and Antifa. And one of them happens to use the term tranny in describing the transgenders. And he uses it, I think twice. And then at some point they're playing music and the door opens up and I suppose she must be a program manager, steps in and says she's called the police because it's illegal to use such a disgusting word as tranny, which is hate speech, on the radio. And then one kid that cracked me goes, "You really didn't call the police, did you?" She says, "Yes, I did." I got to play it for you because it's a hoot. It's a hoot. Look who's here, Dr. Menzing. Hi, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Doc, let me ask you a very straight question, a very pointed question, all right?
I hope I can answer it.
Okay. Why, this is so weird, but why do my feet stink? Can you tell me why it is?
Black souls.
Okay.
Why do my feet stink?
Why do feet stink? A lot of people don't realize. We're having fun in the
I just pulled that one right out of thin air.
What'd you think? Oh,
there must be a medical reason. There must be.
There is.
Is there some reason why my feet stink? Okay.
All right. The first thing is that of all parts of your body, the highest percentage of sweat glands are not your axilla in your armpits, but in your feet.
A lot of
people,
really?
People don't realize that, but it's true. All right. The highest per capita, that's not the right word, but the highest concentrations of sweat glands are in your feet, not your axilla. All right. People don't understand this, right? So the feet sweat. And essentially, when feet sweat and you have there's certain bacteria in your feet that are there normally, as long as there's no sweat, it doesn't bother. But the bacteria take that sweat and chew it up, and the byproducts is a stinky foot. And that's a crass way of saying it. All right?
That's it?
That's it. That's it. So what do you do about it? I mean, you know, it's very common. There is one other thing.
Well, I've used foot powders before.
Well, sure.
Like that.
Well, we can go. There's one other thing that you can. Well, maybe we'll leave that to later. But there's one other thing that that makes a lot of difference. All right. And I'm not sure why. All right. But had a lot of patients do this. In fact, I've done this myself, and it works. But the what do you do? Number one is less sweating. Well, you can't really stop your feet from sweating, all right? So number one, make sure they're aired out, all right? Number two is use, like a lot of people recommend putting Desitin in your shoes,
socks, all right?
Number three, there's other recommendations, changing socks midway through the day, all right? Mm. Number four, wearing more open shoes, you know, not a closed shoe, so the air, you know, more of a sandal-type shoe. Number three is just good foot hygiene, all right? There's several ways you can, how should I say, you can do that. I mean, you want to just wash them with soap and water and that. There is a few little tricks. Some people have found if you use fairly high Epsom salts, foot baths.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially magnesium, all right? Does a few other things for the feet and foot pain. But it makes it harder for the bacteria to grow. The next thing is that we always, in those cases, the immunology of a skin, or how good your skin, you know, your skin health has highly related to your vitamin D3 levels. So I would, you know, we'd check your vitamin D3 levels and make sure they're normal or high normal. The other thing that I found myself, Jazz, is, and I had a problem with this years ago, and I found, this is all published, this is probably 15, 20 years ago. But if you drink up to 10 to 12 glasses or cups of water, all right, that's an 8-ounce cup of glass of water. If you drink 8 to 10 a day, it can help for the smelling of the feet to go down, all right? I don't know why it works, all right? Some people have postulated that it may be that you're flushing out these toxins in your body to the urine. I really don't know. But it seems to work. And I like, you know, as you know, I like things that are cheap and safe everywhere outside of Terminus Upside. But what makes you know, your feet smell? It's literally bacteria that are, you know, living and chewing up that sweat, and the byproducts make.
Well, because I was going to say, you know, even during the height of summer, when I get off work and I go home and I take off my shoes, it's not like my feet are drenched in sweat.
Don't have to be. They don't have to be. In fact, it's not the fact that they're drenched in sweat. It's you're sweating, and the bacteria are chewing it up even before it even makes sweat, kind of thing. All right? But that's literally the cause of stinky feet.
Is there a pill?
No. This is not a pill problem. The stinky feet are kind of a. I mean, it's common. You know, I mean, I was going to say, have I met everyone that hasn't had it? I never really thought about it, but it's common. You know, everybody knows if you wear sandals and things like that, that helps. But really, what it's doing is it's letting those feet air out. Number two, less sweat accumulation. And number three is that the bacteria like wet, moist environments, all right? And they don't like being out in the air, all right? And that works.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, we're talking about feet. What about the swelling of the feet? My left foot swells. Sometimes it's worse. Sometimes it's not so bad. But it's always a little bit swollen. Why is that? Not my right, just my left.
Well, it doesn't. Whatever foot, single foot swelling is different than both feet swelling.
Okay,
all right?
What's the difference?
Think of it this way: if you both feet swell, it's usually a metabolic problem. You have congestive heart failure, you have renal failure, you have liver problems. Those are the most common things. Your proteins are wrong, or a reaction to medicines, diastolic heart failure. There's a bunch of things, but think of it: both feet swell. It's usually a metabolic issue or a generalized health issue. Mm-hmm. It's not due to the feet, all right? That's not always so, but that's the most common.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if one foot swells, left or right, doesn't matter. Bottom line, I have to look at the pathology in the foot itself, all right? Now, it's possible to have pathology in both feet. Don't get me wrong. But by and large, both feet swell more serious, all right, as a more global issue. One foot swelling, it's a localized issue. Now, what are some of the first thing is let's talk about the most serious thing. One foot swelling, every doctor, the first thing he doesn't look at your foot, he looks at your calf, all right? Because if your calves have clots in them, and it'll cause swelling of the foot. And if a doctor misses that and that clot leaves and goes up to your lungs and your heart.
You're dead.
You're dead. Or you can't, you're not always, but it's one of the few. It's pretty hard to digest. I mean, there's only six things that kill you instantly. And one of them is a pulmonary embolism from that leg that with its swelling in the foot going up to the heart. And it's over kind of thing. So the first thing the doctor does is he rules out the most serious. You know, I mean, literally.
Well, how do you determine if you got a clot?
Well, it can't. I mean, it's hard. There's clinical criteria, you know, calf pain, calf swelling, foot pain, foot swelling. There's exams we do, the doctors will do to give us a sense. But here's there's an axiom in medicine. You know, in medical school, they teach the doctors this. If you think the diagnosis, rule out the diagnosis, all right? And what that's saying, the studies show that more than half the time, Jazz, clinically we're wrong.
Is that right?
That's right. Clinically we're wrong, all right? So if I think it's so, I better do the test to do it. That's an ultrasound of a lower extremity, a Doppler flow study, and it becomes very obvious if there's a clot or not.
So it's an ultrasound test, right?
Yes, it's a Doppler flow study of a left lower extremity, a venous Doppler. It'll tell right away if there is. So I look at it, a good doctor, I suppose that a good doctor should have a bunch of these negative, not all, if every one you do is positive, you're missing some, all right? You know, half should be negative kind of thing. I'm not sure if it's the right number, but you should have these tests done. And if you're a physician, every test you do is positive, you're missing some, literally. And that's a sad way to say it. Some of these tests should be negative, all right? Because hopefully not miss them, but make sure that they're not positive, all right? So the first thing that's done is rule out the most serious. Number two, what's the most common cause of a foot swelling? The most common cause is tissue injury, all right?
Okay, sprained ankle.
Sprained ankle, common, all right? You've injured your foot or your ankle, all right? That's the most common. There's some kind of injury. Number two, besides strain, there's what's called blunt trauma or crush injuries. You get your foot crushed or something like that, all right? Number three, you have some kind of inflammatory process. I mean, the most common is gout. You know, you've got a great big hot toe.
Right.
And it's the foot swelling, all right? And that. You can also have, Jazz, everybody thinks of gout as a big toe, you know, this hot red toe. But it's very common to have a hot red ankle, and it can be gout, all right? It could be that. It doesn't have to be the toe. Mm-hmm. You can, any joint in the foot can be involved with
gout. And it's a collection of uric acid buildup, right?
Essentially,
crystals or something?
Yeah, essentially when the uric acid levels get too high, these in the joint, these this uric acid crystallizes. And it's, you know, think of it, I'm not sure if this is the right way to say it, but sort of a good way to think of it is in your joints, you got these miniature crystals. They're like little needles.
Yeah.
Just destroying everything. Every time you touch it or move it, you yell and scream, all right? And that's what gout is, and there's definite medicines and treatment for that. The other things what a doctor will do when he examines them is to make sure it's not a foot trouble, all right? Because you can get pain in the ankle, but really the problem is in the foot, all right? And probably the most common issue that we see is somebody who has a plantar fasciitis, all right? And it's really a foot problem, but they're presenting with, you know, knee problems or leg problems or calf problems or ankle problems or heel problems. And the real issue is a plantar fasciitis. And what that is you have a think of it like a tendon. It's not a tendon, it's a fascia, but it's like a big wide hunk of tissue that joins the heel to the toes. And if that gets inflamed, a whole bunch of bad things happen.
Does that go over the top of the foot or under it?
Underneath the
underneath
foot. It's in the
okay.
arch. It's in the arch. Okay?
Oh, okay. I got you.
And that'll present several ways. One way that's very spectacular, but not that common, is a plantar fasciitis can present. It's called first morning pain. You know, the patient jumps out of bed and steps on their feet and they go, oh, it's like they're jumping onto a needle in their foot kind of thing in the arch. That's not that common, but it's a fairly classic way for plantar fasciitis to present. The most common way plantar fasciitis presents is an indolent discomfort in the foot, and patients often have a hard time, you know, saying, you know, they don't even know where it is. My foot hurts, and that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to differentiate. Is my foot, my heel, my bones, my joints, my muscles? Where
the
is
answer
it?
Is all of is those, it, all the above.
Yeah, that's right. And so it becomes more difficult until the doctor looks at it and decides what it is. The other thing is that a lot of people don't think of this, but foot pain does not necessarily have to mean it's in the foot, all right? I had a gal last week that came in with foot pain, and she really had sciatica. All right, and a back problem.
Okay, yeah.
The foot is not the issue. I mean, that's why.
But it's traveling all the way down her leg.
The problem is her back. It's not a foot problem.
Because I've had sciatica where it's like in my calf or just behind my knee, where the major pain is.
It could be in the muscles itself. The classic example is a person that his magnesium or potassium levels are a bit, you know, on the low side, and they overstress or walk too much or overstress them, and they get foot pain. But really what's happening is they've got the tendons or the gastrocnemius muscles and the Achilles tendon are really getting inflamed, and they present with foot pain.
Ah,
and it's not really the foot at all. It's just that they are
all this other
stuff. In fact, we've mentioned this before in a program, but one of the more common ways people get foot pain and back pain, actually it's part of the back pain syndromes. But you get a guy that's 55, 60. He's got a big paunch. He's got big boobs. All right? And, you know, you can watch.
Why are you looking at me that way when you say that? Why is he looking at me that way?
But these are classic signs that the guy has low testosterone level. In fact, I was talking to a doctor this morning over at Memorial Hospital, or one of the pharmacists, all right? We had breakfast together and talking. And one of the more common ways men of that age, 50, 60, present, they'll come in with back problems, all right? Or foot problems. The problem is not the feet or the back. They have low testosterone levels. As the testosterone gets low, the muscles get flabby and weak. So they get back pain, and then the back pain gives them foot pain, and they come in with back pain. And really the problem is you check them all, and their testosterone is in the basement.
Exactly.
All right.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. More with Dr. Mensing. 399-1560, 399-1560. It's the Jazz McKay Show on KNZR.
As we approach the holiday season, let's set aside the things of the world that so easily overwhelm us, and with hearts of thankfulness, focus on how blessed each of us is. Paul Sheldon here. Even those of us who are experiencing sorrow and hardship can receive the peace that passes all understanding by simply considering Jesus, who alone is our peace. For the joy set before him, he endured the scoff and shame so that any of us with the simple faith of a child can cast aside our old, weary life and freely receive from him his glorious new indwelling life. 100 years from now, it will not matter how much money we have in the bank or how nice our house is or what educational degrees we hold. The true meaning and purpose of life that all of us yearn for can only be found in the one who alone is life. This season, let's allow God to renew our minds daily with thanksgiving for all that he has done for us. My staff and I have been so blessed by God and our community, and we wish you a very blessed Thanksgiving.
I'm here with Malin Davis from Divine Power USA. I'm curious, is Divine Power a local company?
Yes, Divine Power was started right here in Bakersfield. And even though we install solar systems from up north in Modesto and all the way down to San Diego, Bakersfield is where our home is. Besides, when it comes to hiring people with amazing work ethic, Bakersfield is pretty hard to beat.
Sounds like you're proud to be from Kern County. Now, what kind of solar systems do you have at Divine Power? Do you just only sell them, or do you only just have leases available, or how about loan options?
Well, as I'm sure you're aware, Divine Power is not the only solar company in town, but one of the several things that sets us apart from the other companies is that we offer all four options when it comes to installing solar on your home. We offer purchase and loans with rates as low as 2.99% interest. We also have the SunPower lease, and we have our new PPA option that allows you to have solar on your home with no credit check required. You just have to own your own home. And just like our loan and lease options, there's no money down. Give us a call today at 557-0027. That's 557-0027.
KNZR. This is the Jazz McKay Show on Kenzer.
Welcome back, Jazz McKay program on KNZR. A little Skinner music there for a Monday afternoon. And let's real quick, let's get Ralph on here with us. Ralph, how you doing today, brother?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I have a few questions for the doc.
Go right ahead.
Doc, do you still take cash walk-ins?
Yes, we do. There's actually two parts to the practice. We have Budget Medical Clinic, which is was started by many years ago. In fact, 39 years ago. By a physician in town, and then and that's a cash practice. You walk in cash payment, and then the practice, which is essentially a subscription based practice. Most people, Jazz, and this is Ralph. The vast majority of patients who join the practice, the vast majority, come in as a cash budget medical clinic. All right. And because, let's face it, Ralph, they're afraid to commit for a year. Mm-hmm. They've never seen me. They know who I am. I mean, they want to put their name on for a year, and they're afraid. So the many patients come in as their first visit under budget medical clinic, which is cash, all right? And then they walk out, and I like the doctor, I like what he's doing, and they convert it over, and we give them the refund of the difference and set them up for the practice. The budget medical is set up. Think of it like an urgent care or for episodic or emergency things. All right, you have a sore throat. We don't look after, we won't put give you testosterone pellets. We won't do chronic care, for budget medical. That has to be all done through the practice. But you have a sore throat, you injured your ankle, or an acute anything you'd go to the urgent care for, a lot of emergency things too. That's what budget medical's for, and that's we don't talk about a lot about that part.
No, we haven't mentioned that.
But essentially, you can walk in any time to the practice. Now you may have to wait. The bottom line is our practice patients get
priority.
Get priority. All right. But usually the waits aren't that long. In fact, a lot less than going to most urgent cares or ERs, you know what I mean? But that's how it does, Ralph. All right?
Yeah, I understand. Now I have another question. I have had two hip surgeries in the past. After my second hip surgery, I was on using a walker. After I used the walker, I have abdominal pain all across. It feels like I've been bloated.
That's in your belly?
Yes.
All right.
And I've been going to my doctor, and he sent me to different places, and no one has found out what my problem is, and I still got this problem.
Let me just give you, after surgeries, especially painful surgeries, okay, one of the things that a lot of people don't realize, but you are given a bunch of heavy narcotics, appropriately so, all right, to cut down the pain so you don't yell and scream your head off kind of thing right after surgery. And all these narcotics, all right, make it so that it changes your, number one, it changes how fast your bowels, your colon moves. So essentially all these people get constipated, all right? Mm-hmm. They may not realize they're constipated. They may still have the same bowel movement frequency as always, but now their colon is chock full of stool. Do you follow what I'm saying? Versus Ralph having a colon that is, you know, a third the amount of stool or whatever. And that will cause this sort of a heaviness that often people describe as a band around their stomach. They just feel full, all right? It's not a full in the sense of, you know, their stomach being full, but they feel heavy kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we find, Ralph, that's probably the thing that people miss. You know, is that the right way to say after big surgeries with belly pain? I definitely, you know, hopefully you've done this, but you've seen a doctor and checked them out, or he's checked you out, because there are other few things that can happen after that. One of the things that we do, it's easy to check and see if you've got a stool full of colon. You do an x-ray, plain x-ray, and it'll do it. But clinically, if a doctor palpates along the left lower quadrant, the left part of the belly, most people who have, if you're not excessively fat, you know, you can feel your colon, you'll feel it full and hard. And that's a tip-off to the doctor. This patient's constipated. And what we do in the office is we give them what's called a milk jug, empty milk jug full of powder in the bottom, and you fill it up with water, and we have them drink half of it that first day and then half the next day, and literally it'll clean you out like a white tornado, clean everything out. This is the kind of prep we use for doing a colonoscopy, cleans all of that stuff out, and all of a sudden the pain goes away. All right,
well, it's worth it then, I guess, if the
pain
goes away.
But that's a way, Ralph, if you are constipated, to make sure, and it's often missed or not thought of by doctors. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because if I ask you, or you're not going to tell me your bowels are any different. Many of these patients don't even realize they're constipated. All right. The last thing is that it depends, Ralph, on how stressed you are after these surgeries. Because some people, after a big surgery, they're really stressed. Okay. And if you have had troubles, you're not being diagnosed with irritable bowel or anything like that, you know. But if you're under a lot of stress from this surgery, it can present in a lot of bowel cramping. Hmm. All right, and the doctor, if he thinks that, they'll give you Bentyl or there's some things. Magnesium, by the way, if you have low magnesium levels and you get stressed and your bowels will start to cramp. There's a bunch of things like this that really it's spasm of the smooth muscle of the bowel, and it's really a stress issue. Mm-hmm. All right, does that help, Ralph?
Well, this is some more information. I get up in the morning. I sleep good all night. I sleep, you know, I do have a prostate problem, but I sleep all night. And when I wake up in the morning, I feel great. Now I get up and start walking around, and this pain starts coming. And then I can sit down, and it just seems to subside. And as long as I'm sitting down or laying down, I have no problem. But if I start getting up and moving around,
it's gravity.
It seems like I'm starting to get cramps, or seems like I'm blowing up, like I'm filling up with gas.
Is it gravity? Is it the pressure of the bowels pushing down on him?
It could be. There's one other thing, Ralph, that you have to, your doctor will have to think of. All right, in these kind of situations, if you came in to see me and nothing is, you've been worked up and down, you know, everything's, you know, nothing's worked kind of thing. You have this story, and especially when you have, I was going to say weird symptoms. That doesn't make the right sense, but you know, things that don't add up typically. All right, so let's say walking and the you get more pain or more discomfort. One of the things, Ralph, that I in these situations, all right, where you've seen multiple docs and nothing's working, two things. I'm a strong believer of doing a CT scan, a CAT scan of the abdomen pelvis, because every once I've over the years, and it's not common, but two things happen. Number one is that if I have a mass in my pelvis pushing up against the nerves, all right, or I mean not the nerves, but the muscles going down to the legs, the more I walk, the more irritated it'll get, all right?
Of course.
And that may be something. Number two is I had a guy 2 weeks ago came in, and bottom line, there's nothing wrong with him that he can find. Nobody's, multiple doctors seen him, good doctors, and there's nothing wrong. And he had gotten on the web and started looking, and he came in convinced that he had pancreatic cancer, all right? Convinced. I mean, he's working on the web. I've got all these symptoms, all right, these vague, weird symptoms. And I didn't think he had pancreatic cancer. But the first thing I did, Ralph, is I ordered a CT scan of abdomen and pelvis for two reasons. Number one is I've been around long enough that I've seen messes occur. You know what I mean? Just things that we didn't expect, all right? Number two is there's a bigger thing, and this is especially true for guys, less for women. But some guys, or most of us in these situations, when it goes on, and there is may not be an organic reason for it, but what'll happen is that we'll work ourselves up so much, all right, that if I go to the patient and say, listen, your CT scan is negative. There's no masses. There's no tumors. You don't have pancreatic cancer. All of a sudden, lo and behold, their stress levels go down, down, down. All of a sudden, the pain goes away, and they're feeling great.
So it's all stress.
Yeah. And there's a place for imaging like that. It doesn't cost too much. If you have regular insurance, it's probably about $750 to $1,200 bucks to get a CT. I mean, if you're a practice patient, I think it's $145 or $146 or something to get a CT scan, the evidence pelvis. But it doesn't cost that much. And every once in a while, I have become over the years in these, I was going to say, chronic things that we can't figure out that really I can't put my handle on, especially if a bunch of docs have seen it and said, oh, there's nothing there. It's often wise to do that. It doesn't cost that much. And every once in a while, oh my gosh, something bad shows up. All right. And number two is most of the time nothing does. And the patient all of a sudden, it's sort of like they're resetting. Oh, there's really nothing there. And it really was stress. And all of a sudden, there is nothing bad. There's no cancer or anything like that. For this guy with pancreatic, thought he had pancreatic cancer. It was like a breath of fresh air kind of thing. All of a sudden, oh, my gosh. Right. All right?
Yeah. Well, Ralph, does that help any?
I don't know.
Well, I hope it does.
It's just that, it's been a year since my last surgery. It was in September of last year. And I had the left hip that I busted. And then in February of last year, I busted the right hip. And like I said, after that, I used the walker. And as soon as I got off the walker, it seems like this started showing up. And it just keeps, I don't know, it keeps my, my activity, because I get up and start moving around, and all of a sudden my stomach, my midsection is bothering me so much I can't do nothing.
Oh, Ralph, does it hurt if you jump up and down?
With my hips, I don't jump up and down.
Oh, no, yeah, I wouldn't do it. I was going to say, wait a minute.
These things are the other comment, Ralph. Let me give you another little tip. All right, find a doctor that you like and is a good doctor. Okay, good primary care doctor. All right, who knows.
I go to my doctor, and I like my doctor.
Okay, well let me just...
Just we've looked and looked and looked for this problem. I went to the radiologist or whatever it is where they run that thing over, like for looking at women that are pregnant, to look at the baby.
Ultrasound.
It went all around my side and my stomach and my back and everything, and they said everything's in good or working order.
That would have showed blockage right there.
What I was going to come to, Ralph, I would keep seeing your doctor, all right? And statistics show that if you keep going to the same doctor for the same complaint, all right, it may take time, but usually the doctor tweaks what's going on, all right? Not always right away, but usually it'll happen. There is a place for another second opinion, all right? But most doctors, if they're stymied and have got nowhere and got no ideas, they will send you for a second opinion.
That's maybe what Ralph should do. Maybe you should come down there to the practice and pay a cash visit. and see you and get a second opinion.
Always welcome to do that, but here's the issue with that. I mean, Ralph, you're welcome to come. Don't get me wrong, but there often it takes a little bit more time to do that. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it may take a couple of visits.
Yeah. All right. Ralph, I got to run, buddy. I appreciate it, buddy. It's always good to hear from you. I hope you're feeling better.
Oh, I feel all right, as long as I'm sitting down or laying down.
No, that's not good for you. You've got to be active.
That's kind of me, too. I'm sort of the same way. We'll see you, Ralph. He's a good man. I like Ralph a lot. We'll be right back. More of the Jazz McKay Show, 399-1560. Questions for the doc. This is KNZR.
Good afternoon. A small plane crashed north of Mill Street and Highway 58 in Tehachapi yesterday, killing the pilot. The Kern County Fire Department says the plane went down just before 6 p.m., shortly after takeoff from the Tehachapi Airport. A Sunday morning shooting in the area of Baker and Lincoln Streets leaves one man in the hospital with moderate injuries. Bakersfield police say no suspects have been identified. Bakersfield police arrested 39-year-old Robert Luna Saturday night after he hit another car and attempted to run away from police. Earlier, Luna is suspected of threatening to kill the passenger in his vehicle by driving off the Panorama Bluffs. The 8th annual Chips for Kids Toy Drive starts today. You can drop off new and unwrapped toys at several locations around Bakersfield, including the CHP headquarters. Check in the Chevron Weather Center for Monday, November 20th. Mostly sunny today with a high near 70. Partly cloudy tonight with a low around 52. Sunny Tuesday with a high near 76. I'm Bill Curtis on KNZR, Bakersfield's talk radio leader.
With America Ceramics, doing it natural stuff. With America Ceramics, doing it natural stuff.
Kern County, are you ready for that home makeover? That's been long overdue. Now's the time. America Ceramics will make your dreams come true. Now with even more to choose from. Go by and check out their new showroom at 4000 Fruitvale Avenue. You can see the product firsthand or check them out online at AmericaCeramics.com. Stop by and see all the beautiful upgrades you can make to your home on a budget. America Ceramics. Stop by 4000 Fruitvale Avenue or online at AmericaCeramics.com and invest in your home today. America Ceramics offers the best prices in town. Give them a call at 587-4002. And remember, with America Ceramics, do it in natural stone.
With America Ceramics, do it in natural stone.
Too cold or too hot, give Holders a shot. Holders.
It's time to use the heater again. Call Holders Heating and Air to get your 20-point inspection to ensure that your heater is working efficiently. Count on Holders to keep your family safe and warm. Discounts on new units, too. For same-day appointment, some restrictions apply.
Too cold or too hot, give Holders a shot. Holders.
864-1925.
Holders.
Come on, smile.
Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom sleep gels. They're non-habit forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom sleep gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
KNZR, Bakersfield's Talk Radio, 1560 AM and 97.7 FM KNZR.
And let's go back to the phones, taking questions for Dr. Mensink, and Danny is up next. Hey, Danny, how are you, man?
How are you, Jazz?
Good, buddy. What you got, man?
Hey, I turned in late on that part where you guys were talking about the sometimes when, like in the summertime, I'll work long hours and my foot sweats. I don't have that odor problem, but like, is that something I can? What was he recommending? Something like a remedy for that sweating, and then sometimes for the odor.
Okay, so far as the sweating, you can't stop the sweating. All right. Uh-huh. The best way is to wear a breathable shoe. All right, or more of an open shoe or a sandal or something like that, so that it dissolves right away. Okay. You can't stop the sweating. That's not possible. Number two is make sure that all bad odor, feet odor, is a infection problem, really. I mean, these bacteria in the feet, they chew up that they live on that sweat. They chew it up, and the byproducts just, they stink, all right?
Mm.
All right. The third thing is that I mentioned, Danny, is that I've done this myself, and it works. I don't know why. But if you keep yourself well hydrated and drink more than 8 to 10 glasses, 8 ounce glasses of water, within 3 or 4 weeks, the foot swelling or the foot odors go away. All right.
Wow.
I don't.
Water.
Okay. I don't know why. Just frankly, I don't know the reason why, but I've done it myself, and it works, kind of thing. There have been people who have postulated reasons. I really don't know if they make any sense. I don't even want to mention them. Because really don't, at least I don't know why. But it's, I like things, Danny, that are cheap, that are safe, very little downside. Half the people around are walking around dehydrated anyhow.
Mm, yeah, that's true.
All right?
That's
true. And then, Doctor, one more question real quick. I work nights. Sometimes our shift changes, working, and then sometimes during the day I can't sleep. And then sometimes I refer to the NyQuil, that little NyQuil stuff,
yes,
that helps you sleep. Is that something that's going to affect me long term? I mean, because sometimes I'll take it just to help me to sleep. You know?
No, it's not a good choice.
I would advise metoprolol.
No, not melatonin would be better.
Oh, melatonin. Yeah. I'm sorry. What did I say? Metoprolol. I've got my heart medicine on my mind.
Danny. In fact, go to our website.
Melatonin. Yeah.
As long as you have no other medical issues and it's not a depression issue, it's a shift work issue. All right. Go to our website, and you can buy on our store something called Herbal Siesta.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, and it has a bunch of...
What is the website?
Drmensink.com. Drmensink.com, all right?
Okay.
And you can buy it over the counter, but something called Herbal Siesta, and you take two of them when you go to bed. And what happens is it's essentially five different herbs. It's not a sleeping mess, but it's five different herbs. It's got 600 milligrams of magnesium and 10 milligrams of melatonin. But after you take that combination for about 3 to 4 months, it tends to help change your circadian rhythm, all right? So that it, so that you'll sleep better, kind of thing. And the magnesium helps to make your muscles not just tense and relax a little bit better. And the melatonin helps to change that circadian rhythm a bit. And if you take two of these every night for probably about 6-8 weeks to 3 months, and it typically it'll help that.
The other thing too, you want to make sure that there's no sunlight in your bedroom.
Yeah. Correct. In fact, we were just, one of our doctors in our office just mentioned we need to do a talk on sleep hygiene. We did one probably about 3 years ago, but we probably should again. But that's a good way of doing it. Where you get in trouble, Danny, just short and simple, is if you 6 weeks here, 6 weeks, different shift, 6 weeks, that's where you get bad things happen.
Well, it's hard for him to develop a sleep rhythm because of that.
Yeah. No,
he's working
day shifts, night shifts. There's a lot of things coming out right now, Danny, that if you're on that kind of a regime or work detail, the risks go up for many, many illnesses. It's astounding, really, what happens. So if you're that kind of person that's working on shift work, it is incumbent. If you're my brother, I would yell at you, beg of you. You need to live a very healthy, very good lifestyle and diet and all that kind of things, because the risk factors go through the roof for all sorts of illnesses when you work shift work.
Yeah, be careful. Right? Be careful, Danny. All right?
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you,
sir. We'll talk to you. Yeah, the melatonin, that's what I meant to say. There are two different forms of that. One is a pill. The other is a lozenge.
Or sublingual.
Yeah, it's like
put under your tongue and suck on it.
I've got some that is in a bottle with a dropper, and I use that.
It can be used. The problem with that is it's easy to overdose. It's easy to overdose.
And I take two little things
drops,
about that. Yeah,
it's easy. Instead of one drop or two drops, maybe three went in or four went in.
I just fill it up one.
Oh, you mean in a cup? Oh, okay.
No, in the dropper itself.
Oh, okay.
You see, and so it's the same dose every time, but I find that works faster than taking the pill. It absorbs into your body.
The fastest way to take melatonin is sublingual under the tongue.
Yeah, the pill under the tongue.
Yeah, just you don't. It absorbs under the tongue. Takes about 2 or 3 minutes.
And let's see, we got Brian up here next. Hey, Brian, how are you, man?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, quick question. All right, I was just recently testosterone. I'm in my low 90s. What is the difference? They wanted to put me on Androgel. On it for a year, it does no good. What is the difference between the synthetic and the bio?
Okay, good question. The synthetic, we say synthetic. That's maybe, but essentially, it's a testosterone that's been the drug company has sort of added a different molecule, changed it, so it's no longer bioidentical, same as your own testosterone, and then they sell it to you. All the non-bioidentical testosterone, androgels, classic. They have a lot of. They're very expensive. You can spend up to $240 a month. They're all have been shown to have a lot of bad things from heart disease, strokes, cancer. You name it. All right, they're all bad. No drug company will make a medicine out of bioidentical testosterone for a very simple reason. You're not allowed you can't patent your own body hormones. So they all have to be compounded. Right, that means
that's expensive.
It's expensive. Creams or pellets or different ways like that. All right. Number two is the bioidentical testosterone. I'm a strong believer in it. It works. The risks are very, very small. In fact, way lower than the regular testosterones. And they do a bunch of good things. Not to say the quote synthetic, if that's what you call them, but they have much less risk profile. But they work. The problem we have with bioidentical hormones is very short. There's only two or three doctors in town that have their hormone fellowship. All right? And there's a lot of problems because doctors don't know, and they haven't been trained. And the average doctor today, he doesn't want to spend $4,500 and take a course in hormones, all right? And so many of the doctors don't know much about bioidentical hormones, and they're winging it, all right? Because most of them, the sad fact is most doctors get their drug information from the drug reps. Mm-hmm. There's no drug rep pushing this stuff, all right? So they don't know, and there's a lot of misinformation, just shorts and simple jazz, terrible misinformation. And it's not the doctor's fault. They just never taken the courses. And if you only get your information from the drug reps, there's no rep going to be talking to you about this stuff. There's no
education. Right. Well, they
don't know.
Right. Well, they keep wanting to put me back on the synthetic, like the Andro or another one, and I told them, been there, done that.
Go find a doctor, all right, that does bioidentical hormones and webs in Bakersfield. There's several number of us that do it, all right? Google bioidentical hormones in Bakersfield, all right? And I'm a strong believer in that. The bioidentical hormones are not don't have to be that expensive. We have a special price we give our patients. Number two, the safety profile is way, way better, all right? Number three is we have a lot of tips and tricks now with the bioidentical hormones to even make the profile, risk profiles for essentially prostate cancer, things like this.
Even lower?
Oh, even lower. Wow. All right. Amazing things.
Wow.
All right?
Right. Excellent.
Oh, that totally answered my question. I really appreciate it. And, I don't want to take up your guys' time, so have a good day.
Hey, you too, Brian.
Thank you.
God bless you. Good luck. We'll be right back. One more caller or two, perhaps 399-1560, Jazz McKay Show, KNZR.
Does WOW describe your kitchen and bath? It will, with a little help from the gals over at Blue River Cabinetry. Blue River Cabinetry can handle any project from start to finish.
We'll design your kitchen to fit your needs and function in your space for you and your family.
But it needs that WOW factor, too.
Oh, there are so many ways to bring the WOW factor into your kitchen, from paint to lighting, tile backsplash design. The WOW factor is how your kitchen will look.
And the second WOW factor comes in when you say, wow, I am so glad I didn't have to spend my whole weekend walking down aisle upon aisle at some big box store.
We'll help you every step of the way to select the best countertop and flooring choices, cabinet and door style finishes. We'll make it exciting and fun.
Everything from Craftmade, Starmark, DeWills, Cardell, and Marilat.
And custom cabinetry, too.
We have one of the largest cabinet selections in Bakersfield.
Women know what women want.
That's the Blue River difference.
Come discover the difference yourself. Call Annette and Michelle for a free consultation at 588-8481. That's 588-8481.
You can check us out on Facebook at Blue River Cabinetry.
This is Inga Barks for Columbus Family Dentistry. For the last few years, I've called Dr. Segarian my dentist. And of course, I also say he's my kid's dentist. But I can't say that anymore. A while ago, a coworker asked me what I really thought of Columbus Family Dentistry. She had a very painful toothache. I called Columbus Family Dentistry at 322-1300, set up an appointment, and my coworker not only loved Dr. Segarian, but thinks he's kind of cute. Then a few weeks back, another coworker told me he had a terrible pain in his mouth. So I called 322-1300 and set up a same-day appointment with Columbus Family Dentistry. He returned from his appointment and said, Dr. Segarian is a genius. So it's not just me and my kids who brag on Columbus Family Dentistry. And remember, if you have dental insurance, it won't roll over next year. So use your balance before it's gone. Call our dentist, Columbus Family Dentistry, 322-1300, 322-1300, and at BakersfieldDentalOffice.com.
Paul Blanco's Good Car Company has given thousands of Californians a fresh start, helping people get the BMW, Toyota, or Cadillac of their dreams. Plus, we can help rebuild your credit reputation.
I bought my last two cars from Paul Blanco, and my credit score has improved by 100 points.
Click PaulBlanco.com for Chevy Sparks under 11 grand, Toyota and Honda four-doors under 14 grand, and rates start at 2.9%. Let over 100 lenders compete to approve you only at Paul Blanco.
KNZR Jazz McKay on 1560 AM and 97.7 FM KNZR.
Real quick, because we are running out of time, Doc, neuropathy. This is something else that causes a swollen foot.
Neuropathies, and that's essentially nerve damage. My wife has this problem. But neuropathies can cause a swollen foot, all right? And essentially what happens is that you fry off the certain parts of the sympathetic and parasympathetic nerves, and you can't control the vascular tone of that leg, all right? And the leg will swell. Hard to treat. That's probably one of the worst things you can have, and usually have the neuropathy pain. The other thing we should mention, too, Jazz, that we didn't, but if a woman has one side leg, especially an older woman, has one foot swelling or one leg swelling, the doctor needs to do a bimanual pelvic exam, because one of the hidden things, if you have ovarian cancer and the cancer tumor gets big, it can push in the pelvis the veins and arteries. The artery it won't collapse, but the vein will. So you get extra pressure in the left lower extremity, and you get swelling. So if you're an older woman and you've got unilateral leg swelling, the doctor needs to do a pelvic exam.
That's one leg, but not
two. One leg, not two.
Okay, let's go to Miles. He's calling us on line two. Miles, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Jazz, pretty good. How's you and your wife doing?
Well, we're hanging in there, man. I appreciate the prayers.
That's good. You and Dr. Menzik, I have something on the sweaty feet thing that might be of helpful to people. I've always done a physical job, been on my feet all the time. And a little later, I start having the problems with the sweaty, smelly feet all the time, too. In fact, the bottoms of my foot almost look like a honeycomb on a bee's thing. And I would shower every single night, put clean socks, good shoes, and all that other stuff. Nothing seemed to work. I even had one of them little clear things you're supposed to rub on your foot, like a rock-looking thing. Nothing worked. But one time I did try some stuff, and it actually worked, and it still does work right now. It's called Dr. Scholl's Foot X, I think it is. It's a powder. And what I'd do is I'd get one of those, those like plastic bedpans they give you in the doctor at the hospital and stuff?
Right.
And I'd sit there so the powder doesn't get all over the rug, and I'd just put one foot at a time, sprinkle the powder on the bottom of my feet, rub it in real good, and right when I was done, I'd slip a sock on.
Sure.
And then put my foot in my shoe and tie it. And that stuff really keeps my feet dry and stuff, and it's gotten rid of all those problems.
Yeah, interesting. I'm not familiar with that, Miles, but it sounds interesting. I know one thing we see every once in a while, if we have people that will come in with big, thick calluses in their feet, and they end up being cracked, all right?
Right.
And they're just cracked. And they will get bacteria in those cracks, all right, and you can't cure them kind of thing. And there's some doctors, I've tried a few times with so-so results, but some doctors have recommended high-dose vitamin A, massive doses, and essentially those calluses with a little bit of I was going to say trimming, but abrasive actions will all go away. And that you're getting rid of the calluses, but the calluses are not the issue. It's the bacteria in those calluses.
Exactly.
But I don't know. I'm not familiar with Miles, but that sounds interesting.
What's it called again? It's called Dr. Scholl's.
Yeah, because I tried the odor eaters and a bunch of other ones, and none of them seemed to work. But this one did, and I figured it must be some ingredient that they have in there. And that's it. It lasts all day, and I don't have any problem at all.
Well, we'll check into that. I appreciate the call, Miles. It's let's see who's next. Norman. Hey, Norman, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Jay?
Hey, I'm all right, brother. Thanks for calling.
All right. I had a short question for Dr. Menthick, and I'm 72. I was curious. I haven't ever heard you mention this. Do you accept Medicare patients?
We accept Medicare, but we accept all patients. All right, but we do not have anything to do with your insurance. I mean, we can use your insurance for your testing and different things like that, but we don't bill your insurance, okay? We have nothing to do. We don't bill Medicare, Medi-Cal, any insurances. You still have to sign up for the membership. Many of our patients, in fact, 52% of all our patients have insurance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The most common, number one, is Kaiser. Number two that sign up for the practice are Medicare. We have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of Medicare patients have signed up. But we don't accept that as your payment. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's a totally different thing. But no, we have no problem. In fact, we want our patients. It's easier. My life is easier if you have insurance or Medicare or something like that. We want you to have that. We encourage that. We're not against insurance. And I have a lot of people thinking I am. We're not against insurance. Just a little tip while he brought it up, Norman. But we now have an insurance agency. An insurance agent, Clay Kerner, that's working with us for insurance to marry with the practices, mostly for businesses. By the way, businesses are saving a fortune doing this. But if you call our office, they'll give you, he'll put you on a list and get you contact with him. But businesses are doing amazing with it.
Okay.
There you go. Hey, appreciate the call.
I have just a little extension on that. Do the people that you refer your patients too for tests and so forth, do they accept Medicare?
Yes,
or
they accept all insurances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's not an issue.
Oh, they most of them do then.
Yes.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's just your practice then.
Yeah, but I would also advise you to find out how much you're going to have to pay in a copay if there is any, if you've got insurance.
Yeah, Medicare is usually not too bad. Where the issues are,
I've
regular
got United Healthcare,
and the copays are sometimes many patients. It's cheaper to use our discounts rather than use your own.
Yeah, because I had an MRI, and I've told you this before, and I used my insurance, and I got billed $900. That was my copay, and if I have an MRI through Dr. Menzink,
I think your MRI was $136.
$136,
right.
So.
Okay.
Norman, take care, buddy, and God bless you. Doc, I appreciate it so much. Always good to have you here.
And we've talked about stinky feet all morning.
We'll be right back, folks. More coming up on KNZR.
KNZR, Bakersfield, 97.7 KNZR, FM, Shafter. It's 2 o'clock.